it's good to see you out here today. I, too, am a witness of Jehovah. As in Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And here we are in downtown Portland. We're at the ends of the earth. And it's my privilege to be here today with you as a witness of Jehovah God and to declare to you that the Holy Spirit that you're learning about today is not a force, but is the third person of the Trinity. As you will find in John 16, verse 7, the Lord Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if you do not go away, or if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." But when he, personal pronoun, he has come, he, personal pronoun, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me. It is sin to not believe upon Jesus Christ as Jehovah God. It is sin to deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, he, personal pronoun, the person of the Holy Spirit, has come to convict you of the sin of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is Jehovah, he will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Jesus, Jehovah in flesh, told them he was going to the Father, his Father. He's not an angel. He is not Michael the archangel. He is Jesus Christ, God of very gods in flesh. As Matthew 1:23 says, he is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He, God, in flesh, came from the Father and is going to the Father. Verse 11 in John 16, and of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The devil is the ruler of this world for a brief period of time, and the devil has come with many deceptive lies. One of those lies is the lie of the Watchtower Tract Society, the lie that Jesus Christ is not God of very gods in flesh. It's a deceptive lie. It's a lie that the Mormons have embraced, believing Jesus was a man who became a god. It's a lie that the Muslims have embraced, believing that Jesus was a prophet but not God. And it's a lie that the Jehovah's Witnesses have embraced, denying the deity, denying the personality of Jesus as Jehovah God. Of judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. A time will come when the devil is judged. You may recall in Jude verse 9 that Michael, the archangel, who was not Jesus Christ, said, "The Lord rebuke you," to Satan. The Lord Jesus, however, in Matthew chapter 4 verse 10, said, "Away with you, Satan." Why the difference in authority? Because in Jude 9, we have Michael, the archangel, a created being, an angel, like Lucifer. In Matthew 4, we have Jehovah, Jesus, God in flesh. Jesus, with the authority of God, sending Lucifer away. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus continues, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." The Holy Spirit is spoken of again with the personal pronoun he, when he comes, the Spirit of truth. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth, the greatest truth, the truth that you're rejecting. The truth that I plead with you today to consider and submit to is the truth of the deity of Christ. Your rejection of Christ's identity as Jehovah God will cost you your eternal soul. He came is the Spirit of truth. He will tell you things to come. Verse 14, the Lord Jesus says, He, the Spirit of God, will glorify me. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, that He will glorify Jesus. I ask you why it is that Jesus will be glorified by the Holy Spirit. Why is that? When God the Father, when Jehovah God, in Isaiah 42:8, says, I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another. How is it that God declares He will not share His glory, and yet Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will glorify me. He will glorify Jesus. Why is it that Jesus is worthy of glory? Because in the beginning, He was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a God, but God, a very God, who took upon flesh. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh, and we beheld His glory. Again, why is it that Jesus has innate glory? Why is it that Jesus possesses glory? It's because Jesus Christ is God. He is Jehovah. And the Spirit of God came and is here now to declare to you the glory of Jesus, the glory of Jehovah the Son. And every knee will one day bow, and every tongue will one day confess that Jesus is Lord, Jehovah. And you will either bend your knee now and confess Him as Lord and your Savior, or one day you will bend your knee and confess Him as Lord, only He will be your judge. In verse 14, John 16, Jesus says, He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit of God is coming. The Spirit of God is here now. And the Spirit of God inspired this text, speaking of the glory, the innate glory of Jesus Christ. You must repent of your false Christ. You must turn from your false Christ, Michael the Archangel. You are blaspheming the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Join the Spirit of God in glorifying the Son who is Jehovah. In Colossians 1:15, it says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn in preeminence and position over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. You agree with me, I know, that Jesus Christ is the Creator. Only the difference is this. I believe He's the Creator God. He is Jehovah, the Son, who created. Why do I believe that? Because in Isaiah 44:24, Jehovah says, Thus says Jehovah, your Redeemer, and He who formed you in the womb. I am Jehovah who makes all things. Jehovah makes all things. Who stretches out the heavens all alone. Who spreads abroad the earth by myself. How is it that God, Jehovah, in Isaiah 44:24, says that He created all things alone, that He spread the heavens and the earth out by Himself. And yet in Colossians 1:15, yet in John 1:3, we see that Jesus is the Creator. It's because Jesus is God. Jesus is Jehovah. And Jesus, Jehovah, Jesus, who is God, He is the only Savior among men. He is the light of the world. And you are suppressing that light. You're rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit and glorifying the Son. You're suppressing the glory of the Son, Jesus. In Daniel 10:13, it says, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the kings of Persia." Gabriel here speaks of Michael, another angel, another created being, one of the chief princes. He's just one of the chief princes, one created being. He is not Jesus Christ. In Daniel 10:21, Gabriel goes on, "I tell you what is known from the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince." Michael was the angel assigned to watch over Jerusalem. Michael is a created being, an angelic being, ministering to the saints of God. In Jude 9, Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Why does Michael say, "The Lord rebuke you"? Because he is not God. I agree with you in that. Michael is not God. He is a created being. He is the archangel. And yet in Matthew 4:10, Jesus said to Lucifer, Jesus said to Satan, in Matthew 4:10, he says, "Away with you, Satan." Why does Jesus have the authority to say, "Away with you, Satan," and Michael the archangel has to say, "The Lord rebuke you"? Well, it's because, quite clearly, Jesus is the Lord, Jehovah, rebuking the devil and sending him on his way. In Revelation 12:7, it says a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Michael and his angels, he's one of the angels. Oh yes, a chief among angels, but a created being, not Jesus Christ, but distinct from Jesus Christ. Jesus, revealed in Hebrews 1, Jesus is distinct from the angels. Open your Bibles to Hebrews 1, and you find Jesus is much higher than the angels. He is the Son of God, no angel. It says there, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory. Again, Jesus is the brightness of the glory of God. How is that so? How does he possess the glory of God? Because he is God. As Isaiah 42:8 says, "I am Jehovah, that is my name, my glory I shall not give to another." Jehovah did not give his glory to another. Jesus possesses the glory of Jehovah, for he is Jehovah. Hebrews 1:3, "He who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Jesus, God in flesh, Jehovah, purged our sins by dying on the cross. He was crucified for your sins. You reject the blood atonement of God. You reject the love of God. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son upon the cross to die in your place and mine, to wash our sins away. And you are rejecting that atonement. And you are seeking to establish your own righteousness rather than submitting to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ and receiving the forgiveness he has purchased for you. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. And when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. To which of the angels did he, did the Father, did Jehovah, of which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Jehovah declares Jesus is distinct from the angels. He is the son. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Hebrews 1:6. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Jehovah commands all the angels of heaven to worship Jesus. To worship Jesus Christ. How is it that God, who says in Isaiah 42:8, I am Jehovah, that is my name, my glory I will not give to another. How is it that he, in Hebrews 1:6, commands that all of the angels, all of the heavenly host, should worship Jesus Christ? It's because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No created angel, no created being, but God, innately God, forever God, everlasting to everlasting, Alpha and Omega. He is God in flesh. And the Word became flesh, and we beheld His glory. Therefore the Father commands, He commands that all men and all angels should worship Him. And of the angels, He says, who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. But in distinction, but to the Son, He says, your throne, O God. Jehovah says to the Son, your throne, O God. The Son, Jesus Christ, is God. Jehovah the Father declares the deity of Jehovah the Son. And you must bend your knee before Him. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, this is Jehovah God speaking to the Son, and He says, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. The Father here is speaking of the eternality of Jesus Christ, the Son, whom He refers to in Hebrews 1:10 as Lord, capital L-O-R-D, or Jehovah. The Father references the Son in Hebrews 1:10 as Jehovah. Jesus is Jehovah God. Verse 13, but to which of the angels has He ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? The Lord Jesus, even now, as distinct from the angels, sits at the right hand of the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father, Revelation 5 tells us, being worshipped. Jesus is being worshipped by all the angels in heaven. All the angels in the heavenly host are bowing down before the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, if you repent of following the Michael, the false Christ, Michael the archangel, and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and God, one day you'll be there with Him, worshiping Him, worshiping the Father, worshiping the Holy Spirit. In Revelation 5, it says in verse 12, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Again, I ask you, how is it that the angels in heaven are giving glory and honor and worship and blessing to Jesus Christ? It's because Jesus is God. As Isaiah 42:8 says, I am Jehovah, that is my name, my glory I shall not give to another. Jehovah will not share His glory, but Jehovah is three. Jehovah the Father, Jehovah the Son, and Jehovah the Holy Spirit. And so they are equally worthy of glory in verse 13 of Revelation 5, in your Bible and in mine, it says, every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the sea and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. All of the heavenly hosts, all of the angels, all of the saints who are in heaven, every creature that has breath is giving glory and honor and praise to Jehovah the Father and Jehovah the Son in heaven right now. And they will forever and ever and ever. Verse 14, then the four living creatures said, amen. It is true. And if you today will say amen, it is true, and repent of your false Christ, turn from the creation of the watchtower, this Jesus who is a created being, this Jesus who is simply the Archangel Michael, if you will turn from him and confess this Jesus, the Jesus of Revelation 5, the Jesus who is worthy of honor and glory and power forever and ever, amen, you will be saved. But if you continue to follow the Jesus of the Watchtower Tract Society, if you continue to follow a Jesus who is not God, who did not die for your sins, who did not resurrect in the third day conquering sin and death, if you follow this false Jesus, then you have no hope of heaven. You have no hope of escaping the condemnation to come. You have no hope. For John 3:36 says, he who believes on the Son who is Jehovah, he who believes in the Son shall have everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. If you'll not repent of your false Christ and look to Jesus, fully God, who took upon flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, your Jesus will leave you wanting on the day of judgment. We're here today because we love you. We want to see you in heaven one day. We want you to escape the wrath to come. But if you persist in believing the watchtower over and above the scriptures, you will perish in your sins and abide under the wrath of God forever and ever. Turn, turn, look to Jesus and turn. Follow Jesus, Jesus of Hebrews 1, Jesus whom the Father refers to as God, Jesus who Jehovah refers to as Lord. Jehovah God says the Son is Jehovah. Revelation 5 says that he'll be worshipped as God, with God, forever. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He did not give an angel, he gave his Son. Angels are ministering spirits, but it's his Son whom he sent to die for our sins. If you reject Jesus, Jehovah, who died on the cross for sin, if you reject him, you reject the love of God. You reject the mercy of God. And you effectively choose the wrath of God. May God have mercy on your souls. May God grant you eyes to see that you're caught in a cult, that you're caught up under deception, that you're caught up under the doctrines of demons and not the doctrine of Christ, once for all delivered to the saints, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the Word who was with God, the Word who was God, the Word who became flesh, and we behold his glory. John 16, the Lord Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will come, and when the Holy Spirit comes, he will do what? He will glorify me, says Jesus. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit's ministry in John 16:14 is to glorify the Son. The Holy Spirit of God, it says he, personal pronoun, the Holy Spirit of God came with a mission, and his mission was to lift up the Son in all his glory and all his deity, that men and women such as you would be saved, repenting of any false Christ. Your Christ, your Jesus, is no better than the Jesus of the Moonies, the Reverend Moon. Your Jesus is no better than the Jesus of the Roman Catholic Church, the Jesus that's a piece of bread and a cup. Your Jesus is no better than the Jesus of Mormonism, a man who became a god. Your Jesus is no better than the Jesus of Islam, Jesus who was only a prophet and not God, says Islam. You have been deceived. All cults have commonalities. They all take the Bible and they add to it and they take away from it. Mormonism came to the Bible and said yes to the Old Testament, yes to the New Testament, and then added another testament. Catholicism came to the Bible and said yes to the Old, yes to the New, and they added the teachings of the Pope and the councils of Rome. Islam said yes to the Old Testament and yes to the New, and then they added the Quran. And the Jehovah's Witnesses said yes to the Old Testament and yes to the New, and then they added the Watchtower tracts and teachings, and have taken away from and added to Scripture. The most important note to make about all cults is they all change the person and the work of Jesus Christ. They change who he is, and they change what he has accomplished. Roman Catholicism is a cult that has done just that. Mormonism is a cult that has done just that. Islam is a cult that has done just that. And the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower Tract Society is a cult that has taken the deity from Christ, stripped him of his deity, stripped him of his identity as Jehovah God, and taken away his blood sacrifice. That Jesus, the final high priest, Jesus, the final prophet, Jesus, the final sacrifice, died for sins once for all, and then rose again on the third day, and then ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, and even now is worshipped as the Lamb, looking as if he had been slain, slain for sin, slain for sinners like you. Dear friends, you have much zeal, you have much passion to carry your message forth. And it's a commendable zeal. It's a commendable passion. It reminds me of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, where the Apostle Paul was speaking of his fellow nation, his fellow Jews. And he said there, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." I bear you witness that you have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. For the Watchtower tracts have skewed your understanding of Scripture. For, Romans 10:3, with they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. You have become ignorant of the righteousness of God, and you have not submitted to his righteousness. In seeking to establish your own righteousness through your good works, you are rejecting the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus came and died. He took upon himself sin, and he will give to all those who repent and confess him as Lord. He will give his righteousness. The gospel is all about the righteousness of God. It's not about you and I becoming righteous through our works. It's about you and I submitting to the righteous work of God in Jesus Christ. You must repent of your righteousnesses, which the Bible describes as filthy rags. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Repent and trust in the righteousness of God. Again, brethren, my heart's desire, my fellow Americans, my heart's desire for you is that you would be saved. I bear you witness. You have a zeal for God, but it's not according to the knowledge of Scripture. It's according to the knowledge of the Watchtower Tract Society. And therefore, you have become ignorant of God's righteousness, and you're seeking to establish your own righteousness. And you have not submitted to the righteousness of God, the righteousness that comes by grace, through faith, looking unto Jesus, looking unto His cross, looking unto His death for sinners like you and me. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jehovah took upon flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and went to the cross to pay for our sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must turn from your false Christ. You must look unto Jesus. Michael cannot save you from your sins. Michael could not even rebuke the devil. But in Jude 9, had to say, the Lord rebuke you. You must turn from your sins and look to the Jesus of Matthew 4:10, the Jesus who said, away with you, Satan, and the same Jesus who will cast your sins away. As you look to Him and confess Him as Lord and God.